You may have seen her hanging the moon, because she can. At least I think so. So please welcome our very own co-director of our prayer chaplain ministry, licensed Unity teacher, so much more, Kathy Grant.
Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Thank you, Tony. Did you really listen to that song? The question is, where is the God in your life? Where is the God in your life? And also in that amazing song, we learn that there are answers. It is about us stepping in, because we've already got tools. Amen? Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and delicious, tasty, not just acceptable, but exquisite in the presence of God's people, in the presence of the one power and presence that always is, that resides, that has created, that lives in us, breathes through us, spoke this universe into being. May my words, my meditation, be acceptable. Amen, ashe, and amen. So there's a story in scripture in the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. And this prophet Ezekiel of the Hebrew scriptures, he's a visionary also. He sees things. And he had a vision, and this vision was about a valley of dry bones. And he says that spirit spoke to him and asked him, can these dry bones live? And he said, I don't know, Lord, you know. That's the way I see it. And he said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to speak to the dry bones in this valley. He said, prophesy to them and say, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord says, I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. And he did as he was told. And he spoke to the dry bones. And he said, sinews came, bones connected to bones, and flesh came onto the bones. The bones got themselves together after they did some rattle. However, at that point, there was no breath in them. So Ezekiel was told again to prophesy to the bones and say, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Now, this was a field of dry bones, and they describe it as many, like maybe a field of an army that had perished. So that's a lot of bones that he was speaking to. And what had happened was the breath came from the four winds. Not only did they live, the dry bones stood up on their feet. Metaphysically speaking, this story is speaking to the house of Israel. They had some issues back then, and they would have the covenant, and they would follow the word of the Lord, and then they would break the covenant, and then they would pray and do what was necessary. They'd get back on the good side, and then they would break the covenant, and it would happen. And at this time, they were in exile. The children of Israel were in exile. And they were saying, it's like, you know, our lives, we're like dry bones, you know, we're hopeless, there's no hope, there's nothing that we can do. And although this is written way back when, for me, it is very time appropriate. When these bones stood up on their feet, it specifically says on their feet, metaphysically it means understanding. So, A, they were revitalized in the physical. B, they were revitalized in spirit. And C, once they were vitalized, meaning the inflow of the breath of spirit inhabited their being, they stood up. They took an action. And they're like, yeah, we here. And for me, it speaks to my spirit and says that I can look at the dry situations in my life, the things that seem hopeless, the issues that arise that I feel I have no answer for. And I can take this as an example, and I can speak to my own house, my own being, and know that the power and presence, the Spirit of the living God, will manifest. So God is everywhere present at all times. The whole Spirit of God is always present. The question for myself is, do I know it? Not only do I know it, do I feel it? Not only do I feel it, but do I take action on it? Do I know this spiritually and my consciousness? For me, this is a love story. It's about the love the Creator has for His children. In other words, the love our Creator has for us that we can express less than the greatness that we are, that we can express less than the power that we are, and yet be loved back in to the fullness of life, to the full experience. We're already whole. That's the truth about being. We're created what? In the image and likeness of our Creator. God is spirit, and we worship in spirit and in truth. And so if the image and likeness after which we've been created is spirit, then we are spirit. So this love story is about Ezekiel going and telling his people and prophecy that they have not been forgotten, even though they're living in exile, that they're not lost to God. God hasn't forgotten about them. That God can and will restore them to life in their own land. So that's an important message. God is present right where I am, right where you are, right where we are, in the middle of whatever experience pops up and makes its appearance at any given time, on any given day. One way we can change the experience of our lives is to speak into our lives. In this scripture, Ezekiel is told to speak life, and he does. In Proverbs, scripture says, death and life are where? In the power of our own tongue, my own tongue, your own tongue. But the rest of that says, and those who love it will eat its fruits. In other words, if we fall in love with what we're saying and talking about, and it doesn't give it a condition, it doesn't say bad or good, it just says life and death. So that means by speaking, we can put something to rest or we can raise it up. Anybody else out there know that besides me? That the words that we speak are power. Give you an example. Okay, from childhood, certain words were spoken into my life that I have since renounced and decided were not true. But at that time, as a youngster, I was told I was less than, I was too this, too skinny, wasn't smart enough, didn't know enough, wasn't fast enough, wasn't cute enough, my hair wasn't straight enough, and on, and so on. And scientifically, sociologically, psychologically, any other lead you want to add in there, the studies have been done that talk about when we take in for true, no matter at what age, and believe it, we outpicture it in some way, shape, or form. So that tells me words have power. The spoken word originates from an idea. So that tells me the ideas in my mind, the words that form in my mind, are directly connected to what comes out of my voice. In Dynamics for Living, Charles Fillmore says to us, when we believe what we hear, there is formed in us the substance of the word. So I don't know about you, but right about now, when I look around me and see what is happening in our streets, in our city, in our towns, in our country, across the planet, when I hear the words that are being spoken that don't resonate in my spirit, I feel like they give me a headache. My stomach starts to churn. That's telling me those are not words of life. So I have to make a decision as to what I will place into my being. What will I allow to permeate my being? It's a choice. Do I need to turn something off? Do I need to close a particular type of reading and change my mind? And therefore change my action and listen to something that is life-giving, read something that is life-forming. You see, every word is formative, it forms something, but every word is not creative, meaning it is not life-affirming or love-affirming or peace-affirming or healing-affirming. We're given this gift of choice, and I will choose to use it to the best of my ability. Now, I will say in an aside, my best today may be different tomorrow. But to the best of my ability at any given moment, on any given day, knowing that I have the power to choose. And I find it interesting that words live. They're alive. In particular, the word of truth has power in it. Did you hear me? The words of truth have power. Yes, yes. This is so true that folks be writing songs about it. About how important it is to speak life. You know, there's a song by Damian Marley, Bob Marley's son, and he says, speak life. And he says, keep your head up and stay up, too. So not just keep your head up. Keep your eyes on the prize and afar and look up, but stay up. For me, that's like stay up in my spirit. There's a song by Toby Mack who says, speak life to the deadest, darkest night, speak life. To me, when Tony was singing those words from Rochelle Farrell, a reference to speaking life, she says, where's the God in your life? Where's the truth in your life? Where's the spirit in your life? Where's the life in your life, capital L, in your life? Where's the love in your life? I choose to speak life. Charles Fillmore says, every time we speak, we cause the atoms of our body to tremble and change their places. I was like, what? That's powerful. When we speak of healing, and that song she talks about, how can we heal others if we can't heal ourselves, right? And what I recognize is healing first occurs in spirit. It occurs in the mind. I must tell myself, speak to myself words of healing and allow my being to take it in. And through different processes we have in unity, which is so great that we can practice, we have words called denial and affirmation that guide the way we pray. Denial meaning Not saying, oh, that doesn't exist. But meaning we can speak words and say, you know what, I'm seeing this in my life. But I can speak to that dead-looking situation or that dead-feeling situation and choose words of life and speak into it and say, you know what, you may have shown up, but you do not have power over me, right, to defeat me. This is an appearance, and you are temporary. And I am speaking life and love and hope and power and healing into this situation so that I can have a reversal in my fortune. So that I can be transformed by what? The renewing of my mind. So we first release what we don't want, what we don't want to see, what is not the truth of our being. And then we say we're going to affirm what is already true and say, yes, I'm claiming this. This is true in spirit as I walk, as I live, as I have my very being in wholeness. And I'm going to give thanks before I even see it take place. Why? Because we can say thank you for the things that we see and that we can touch and that we can feel when it's already happened. Ooh, and this blessing really dropped on me and I'm so thankful. Yes, that's easy. But when we're sitting in a rough desert places, in the voids in our lives, when we're sitting, laying, sitting, speaking, whatever we're doing, and that pain hits, right? Or that bad news comes, or the call comes from the doctor's office and says, come on over, because we gotta talk. Yes. It is through the practice of prayer and meditation that after I have my fit and my pity party, I can lean back into my faith. And then I can stand up on my feet, sure-footed, with power, and say, I'm going to speak life into this situation. Amen. The founders of our ministry spoke life. Mother Myrtle, I love her. She spoke life. She said, I'm going to switch up how I'm praying, because you know I've been praying in error to my being and calling her not good and weak and blah, blah, blah. And she switched that up, you know. No, I did not inherit illness. I'm speaking life. And she got up, she prayed, and she spoke to her body and called it beautiful. And whatever it needed to hear from her mouth to her cells, ears, because I believe our cells have ears, and she spoke to divine intelligence in every cell of our being knows what to do. We have the power to speak it, and it occurred. And her husband saw her and followed suit and began to speak to his own being. And stuff began to happen, and so we are sitting here today. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Eric Butterworth says, you know, we can do meditation as an act of love. It's an act of awareness that takes place in our hearts. So through prayer, through meditation, I've decided that we can truly love ourselves into healing.
Yes. Yes.
Love ourselves into healing. So some time ago, I had a challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, life is just adorable. Make plans. I had stuff going on. Got to a place, I said to my husband, you know, we finally got a spot to breathe because we had been going through some challenges, and the elders in our family seemed like they were dropping like flies, and we would bury one and the next one and the next one, and we came to a point, woo! And then I got a challenge. I was like, what? Because that's what happened first. What? And then I had to come to myself and remember. Okay, so what are you gonna do about it? Now I can stand here and say, you know, well, Kathy, you know, what did you do? And, you know, how? And I can get real prissy, and, but you know, I'm old school. So from the gospel of EPMD, Eric and Parrish, I had to look at myself and say, Kathy, so what you saying? Some of y'all know that, but it's okay. You can Google it. Had to do with what am I speaking into my life about the seeming situation. Because what I learned is it doesn't matter the magnitude of the challenge. It can be an itsy bitsy teeny weeny challenge, or it can be something that's monumental. I had to recognize that I'm the one who places judgment on the challenge. Because if I believe my scripture, in truth, there is nothing too hard for the God in me to address. That all things are possible. Not some, not a few on Tuesday, but all things are possible. Myrtle says, anything that does not measure up to the Christ pattern of perfection can be changed. I believed it. Do you?
Yes.
Anything. She didn't qualify it. She said, if it's not reflecting the divine perfection for which it was created, or from looking at a situation that is not reflecting the experience of life that I want to experience, it can be changed. Why? Well, if I go back and remember that I am created in the image and likeness of my Creator, and that Christ essence, which always has been, that's just the divine pattern of humankind. That's what the Christ is. Each of us, the spirit of us, is Christ's essence. Don't be scared of the word. Each of us is anointed. Each of us is chosen. Each of us is God's favorite. It just keeps repeating itself with each being that's created. And remember, not another one like you is ever going to be created again. So you are not just an essence of the holy. You are a unique, divine, splendid expression of that which created you. Every single one of us is. Every single person out there is. Whether or not I reflect that in my awareness at any given time, that's another story. But it doesn't change the truth of what we are. Yes? We are inseparable from that which created us. That oneness, that God substance, that intelligence that breathed us into being. The question is, do I accept it? Do I remember that past experiences do not dictate my future experiences? Do I remember that a higher thought held in mind will displace a lower thought that flies in? Let it fly in. Don't argue with it. Let it fly in or fly out. And go back to holding the thought of truth that you know. I called Silent Unity one day, and you know, they'll leave you with an affirmation. If you haven't called Silent Unity, 1-800-NOW-PRAY. And get your prayer on. It's an amazing opportunity. That's our headquarters in Missouri. After you pray, a lot of times they'll give you an affirmation. And one they gave me was, I move forward expecting the best. I move forward expecting the best. I don't care what's going on. Can I move forward expecting the best? Yes, I can. Well, that doesn't look right. That's all right. We're going to move forward expecting the best. And then the blessing of it all is we have so much to lean back on. The gift of memory allows things to come up when we need it. We pray asking, I pray believing, and I say, thank you, God, speak to me in words and thoughts that I understand. We can all do that. And what is required in that moment will be given, because we're told, ask and it is given. Seek and we'll find it. Knock and the door will be open. So I started remembering in the midst of challenge. Okay, so what are some of the lights, the gems of wisdom that have been given to me? Well, I remembered that our past minister of the chaplain program, her name is Barbara Raven.
Yes.
And you'll hear her name spoken.
Amen.
She was this powerhouse of prayer. About this high. And she could get up here and meditate, and just turn everything up. Whoa. And I remember she said one time, you know, when you don't feel like you can pray for yourself, is there anyone here who had a time when they didn't feel like they could pray for themselves because they're just so bogged down? She said, well, I get like that and I just start praying for other folks. She said, I just pray for everybody. She said something in her allowed her to pray for everybody. So she prayed for everybody. So you know she reaped the benefits of those prayers. Right? We had a sister named Jana who was a member of our prayer chaplain program. And she had a talk and she said, when you find yourself walking in hell, keep walking. So when we know these truths, it doesn't mean that things won't happen and spring up in our lives. It means that we don't have to stay there. And I remember Paul Tenali would say, you know, challenges are gonna happen. You're gonna be in the valley. Don't build a condo there. This too shall pass. We have our own Reverend Carlos Wayne Anderson who would have us sitting up saying, well, if you've been through trouble and blah, 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 put one hand up and then if you saw your way through it and God bless you, put the other hand up and next thing you know, you're in a victory pose. So in the midst of those times where I might, or perhaps one of you may feel defeated, we can go back and get that gleaning, right? And remember that we have examples before us all the time of amazing things that have happened. You know, we have that word miracles. If you read Eric Butterworth, he'll say there's no such thing as a miracle, but what he means is that it's not something that's not out of universal law. I, Kathy, just may not understand it. So I latch onto the word miracle. But the beauty of it, if and when it happens for one, it can happen for another. Another and another, and all of us can demonstrate unfolding miracles. In the midst of challenge, one of the things that I recognized is in speaking life to the challenge, that I need to speak love to the challenge, whatever the challenge is. I know it's popular, people say, you know, I'm gonna fight to survive, but I'm gonna tell you I ain't saying that no more. I am loving to thrive. Yes. That's what I'm doing. Whatever the situation is, I will speak life and I will speak love to it because I will love myself into my experience of wholeness through the power and presence, that Christ essence that lives in me. I am convinced it's about a love affair. Kathy, can I love myself enough to move past whatever that is? Kathy, can I love myself and in turn love another and stand in the gap when needed to help one move past a seeming mountain, go over the mountain, however, around, under, through, whatever it is? Can I be love in expression, peace in expression, life in expression enough to be a healing balm in a situation? So for me, it's all about life and love. I am a thriver, whole, expressing love. I move forward and expect the best. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So if I feel like I'm in the depths of hell, I ain't by myself. If that power and presence is everywhere present for real, then it's with me. It is for me to remember. Am I remembering myself back into the experience of wholeness? Because remember, it's not that I'm not whole. I forgot. That's all. Because, you know, some of y'all probably, you know, get that already and have that already. And I thank you for it. Thank you for being my examples. I'm still a work in progress. And that's okay. It is for us to remember. It is okay not to know how. definitely remember why. Because no matter what it is, where it takes you, how you feel, what you're expressing, whatever the rank one is given to one's degree of difficulty, remember that all things are indeed possible. Remember that we are created and wired for wholeness, which means we are wired for healing. We are wired to be an expression of wholeness in this life. We are wired to be walkers of light, speakers of love, speakers of life. Let our substance in our words be a healing bomb. Let the substance be creative. Let that substance remind us that love is our natural state. That the mind of spirit, let that mind be in all of us that was in Christ Jesus, be a mind that is harmoniously peace-filled. Keep those affirmations of love and of peace and of life going. Let us be peace in the midst of whatever's happening. Let us be love in the midst of what's happening. And when we don't feel like we are, claim it, name it, and claim it. Yes, I am God, love, and expression. Yes, God is expressing through me now. Spiritual words have power. Let our words of praise and thanksgiving be of spirit. Meaning, get our information from the inside, from the Christ essence that's within. It is said that, you know, when we pray, changes us. In choir, Reverend Britt says, when we're singing, we're praying twice. So however it works for you to speak life into your life, do that. For me, I have to remember, girl, have a prayer in your pocket and a song in your heart. That cool Rabbi Jesus, he ain't right there booking that Bible. And his words reign supreme in so many lives and has done so for so many generations. We're speaking his words. Our founders based this ministry on the teachings of someone. The only time I remember writing or seeing anything about him writing was when he bent down and wrote in the dirt. And they argue to this day what he wrote in the dirt when he was speaking about the woman named Gunnar Stone. Whatever works for you. So I keep a prayer in my pocket, a song in my heart. And because, you know, we learn in so many different ways, I have to put movement to mine. Yes. So I give myself a dance party. Yes. In the midst of difficulty, I create a playlist for that difficulty. Yes. If I need to feel some more joy, I go get me some songs of joy. I'm a lover of gospel music, so, you know, I get my prayer list and I start speaking. And as I start singing, I feel better. I had a song that says, I got the V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. I got no reason to fear. I got Jesus on my side. That just works for me. You speak what works for you. I remember where I come from. I remember that the fact that I'm standing here today is a miracle in and of itself. Why? The name was mentioned earlier this morning. There's a Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman who at one time when she was a ministerial student at Unity Village said, you know, her car broke down and she said, you know what? I can't be driving back and forth to this village because, you know, they wouldn't let her live on campus because of segregation. She said, I'm quitting. The students got together and said, we got to find a place to live on this campus. I'm standing on her shoulders. Because decades later, I was blessed to be able to visit that Unity Village in Lee Summit, Missouri, and take my classes without a problem. I remember the words of people who have graced the stage here at the Cebu as guest speakers. The names rolled off Brit's tongue earlier. Reverend Mary Tumpkin was down in Florida. Sylvia Sumter, Washington, D.C. Reverend James Trapp, these people graced our stages and spoke to us, looking like me. I remember. So you choose what works for you. Whatever way you learn. Singing, dancing, writing, listening, viewing. I carry a little book about this big. And when I need an affirmation, I just go to my little book. Stick it in my pocket. That's what I mean when I say a prayer in my pocket. I'm not kidding. It's real. Whatever works for you, do it. So that you can be life, speak peace, be love, speak love, and be a healing presence. Healing has not been needed the way it is needed right now. We know better, therefore we are called to do better. So I encourage us to move forward and speak life and speak love. Namaste.
Kathy Gray. Kathy Gray, you preach with a prayer in your pocket and a song in your heart. Thank you, Kathy. You know what? I got a prayer in my pocket too. Kathy, look. I'm not kidding. Light, love, power, and presence. The light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me and my pants. Meditation is an act of love. So let's prepare for today's act of love through that healing power of song that Kathy was just speaking of. What powerful, beautiful reminders that each one of us is anointed, each one of us is chosen, and there will never be another you, ever, because you are holy, holy, holy. Let's know this together. I am holy. I am holy, holy, holy. I am holy, holy, holy. I am holy, holy, holy. I am whole. You are holy. You are holy, holy.
Take a moment to breathe in love.
out peace. And we give thanks in advance for knowing the truth of our being, that each of us is whole. Each of us is created out of God's stuff and has been breathed with the breath of life. Let us hold fast to the truth that our steps are divinely ordered. Even in the midst of a seeming detour, along the way of even a torturous path, Spirit is with us. We remember that we're never alone. No matter what a seeming mountain may be appearing in your life, we remember that appearances are just that. They are appearances. It is not the truth. It is temporary. Allow grace and mercy to bring up any situation, circumstance, or condition that has presented itself as a challenge, and let us pivot just a little and move our faith and what seems to be impossible, scary, fearful, and pivot to faith and the allness of Spirit and the wholeness that we are, in the abundance of the universe, in the unlimited supply that is always available to us, and set our sights on that and allow Spirit to speak through you life, love, peace, healing, joy, prosperity in every area of your life. Abundant blessings, claim it now. In the silence, remember that you are divine love in expression. You take a breath and just remember, at any given time, you can speak over yourself, speak over the situation. Remember that the God of life, love, peace, wholeness, joy is within. You say, thank you, God, for this time. Thank you, sweet Spirit. Forward, expecting the best. And so it is. Amen.
And so